today's gonna be a good day. That today's gonna be a good day. That today's gonna be a
good day. Program continuing now with our focus on this week, September 11th, revisited, if you will. But are we really interested in revisiting? Stronger than ever, 10 years after September 11th, the status of where our country is, has the media tried to exploit the tragedy? What do you think about our country now? The status, by the way, a little bit of an apology for my voice this week because I seem to have a little problem with laryngitis, but I feel fine. So hopefully it won't distract from our conversation now with Daphne Evitar, who is the author of The Status of the War on Terror. Actually, Daphne is a senior associate with Human Rights First, a lawyer and also a journalist. You have written for the New York Times and the Post and the New York Times Magazine, a lot of things credentialed here as far as covering this and other things. So, Daphne, let's go back to where you were on September 11th, 2001, if you would, please.
Sure. I was actually out of the country on a reporting assignment in Cambodia. So it was a bizarre experience because I was in Phnom Penh, and I had gone there to do some reporting regarding the aftermath of the Khmer Rouge war there. Yeah, and then suddenly I turned on CNN in the morning, and I saw the planes going into the World Trade Center, and I thought, oh, my God, what's going on at home, and why am I so far away? But suddenly I really wanted to be back home.
And so how quickly did you get back?
I was not able to get back that quickly. Partly I still had work to do in Cambodia, and then I had to go to Thailand, and plus the flights weren't running. So I got back about maybe 5 days later.
Hmm. What did you feel flying in another country? Because as you mentioned, we had our entire system, I think, shut down for 5 days. So flying during that period in another country, how did it make you feel?
You know, it was very interesting. I sort of felt like everything kind of changed after that. And I remember actually being in the airport, and I guess this was in Thailand, and waiting to get on the plane. And the people who were headed to New York were all kind of very gentle with each other and just sort of looking at each other and being very patient. There was all this security, but everybody was really patient with it. Nobody minded. Nobody was complaining. It was very interesting. And then when I got back to New York, I had noticed this huge shift in New Yorkers as well, that people were much more accepting, you know, of each other, of security regulations. They weren't so impatient. It was a really fascinating time to be in New York, actually. I would say for about a month or 6 weeks after those attacks.
One of the members of my staff, Roberta Fasanelli, is a New Yorker. Roberta, feel free to jump in here as we think about it. We've talked about this many, many times, how New York was a different place and how some wish it would go back to being not what caused the way that New York changed, but is there some way to bring it to the point where it was that seems so productive?
Well, one of the things that I don't think will ever come back, I hope not another tragedy like this, was the quiet in New York. I remember walking out of Penn Station a few days after 9/11 when transportation returned and walking onto 34th Street and 7th Avenue and just stopping and saying something is really different. Mm. And what was really different was it was quiet. People were not talking. Horns were not being honked. Music was not being played. There was almost like an air of solace that just descended over the whole city. Mm-hmm. And the other thing that I noticed is that, you know, New Yorkers are known for, it's a big city. It's a lot of people. We're known for jostling each other. You bump into people. You know, you push to get into the subway cars that are crowded. It's just a way of life in New York. Well, after 9/11, and you're right, it was for about a month, maybe a month and a half, people went out of their way not to bang into each other, not to push each other, to give each other space. It was like people were trying to be gentle after the terrible things that happened. So you're absolutely right.
So, Daphne, in terms of the law, that's your field, and especially when it comes to human rights, the nation changed a great deal. Many of us feel that we have lost some of our rights, and unnecessarily so. What thinkest thou on this?
I think that initially that was really true. I think initially the government reacted with horror and understandably didn't know what was going on. And, you know, we didn't have sufficient intelligence about Al-Qaeda, and or government agencies weren't sharing the information sufficiently. And so the government, I think, overreacted in some ways, but maybe understandably given the magnitude of the attacks, both with the military and also with, as you say, sort of clamping down on civil liberties, rounding up people and putting them in prison because they were Muslim, you know, things like that. I think, though, that over the last 10 years we've learned a lot, and the government has really stepped back from a lot of those policies. I mean, not that there aren't still concerns and problems, but that I think we've become much more careful not to, for example, assume that all Muslims are terrorists or assume that, you know, someone, and try to deport anyone who is here on an some sort of an immigration visa. We're no longer torturing people, using waterboarding, you know, to try to squeeze information out of people, which was something that happened early on in 2002 and 2003. That kind of abuse does not seem to be happening anymore. I think we've learned a lot. We've realized that was counterproductive, that was abandoning our basic values of who we are, and that's the way of letting Al-Qaeda win, you know. Mm-hmm. So I think the government has come around to realize that that's not what's going to help the United States, and we've become much better at remembering what our values are.
We could have a conversation about that. It would probably last a long time. I'm interested from your perspective, a view forward, if you will. Mentioning what you just did makes me think about the TSA. You travel a lot. I travel a lot. I abhor that whole process in which the terrorists did win, and it continues, in my estimation, unnecessarily so, to inveigle its way into the traveler's life. How do you see that going forward? How do you see the incursions of things like the TSA or the government watching the trains or the buses or the trucks that come in and all of this sort of suspicious stuff that has been generated in the last 10 years?
Well, you know, I agree with you. TSA really drives me crazy. And I once made the mistake of objecting to one of their X-ray machines, and that made my life so much worse.
But isn't that wrong, too, in the sense of the law? Isn't that wrong?
Yeah. No, I mean, I agree. I do think that's a problem. The TSA, though, I mean, part of the problem is that a lot of that has gotten contracted out to these private contractors. And so if you try to, they're not allowed to use their judgment about who they should be, you know, checking and who they shouldn't be checking. So they have to just follow the rules.
But isn't that part of the problem? Doesn't it have to be better defined, better run, better organized for people to respect it? People who travel do not respect, for the most part, the process that they have to go through.
Yes. No, I absolutely agree. I think we need to have a much smarter system of security. And other countries can do a much better job. I remember hearing an interview with someone from Israel, for example, where they obviously have a big terrorism problem. And they interview people, and they figure out who is likely to be a problem based on their answers and interview questions. And those are the people they really search. They don't search every single person.
So how, in your traveling or are traveling, how worried, I don't even like that word really, but I guess people think, they listen to the news and they think, oh my God, there could be something else going on. In reality, how much of a problem do you see us encountering going forward here?
You know, I think it's better. I think there's no way that there was terrorism before 9/11, and there will be terrorism after, and there will be hijackings, and that sort of thing can happen. But you're much more likely to be hit by a car crossing the street, or be in a car accident.
But yet, that excuse was used to get us into two very unpopular wars. Does that still happen? The Iraq War, Afghanistan War,
right?
Extraordinarily unpopular.
Right, and they should be unpopular, and they haven't been particularly.
Yeah.
I don't think they've helped our security any.
No, they've hurt, if anything.
Yeah, I agree with that, and I think that the government has to be much smarter about how we respond to these attacks and not throw the military at them.
Yeah, well, see, that's where cyber terrorism or threats come in. And maybe you have a thought about that, because that's something that you're pretty close to. How do we deal with that in the future going forward? Because that seems to be the one thing where there really could be some connection, some roots, if you will.
Yeah, I mean, and I think the government is certainly on that. It's a huge, you know, obsession, I would say, of Congress and of the administration. And I think that they're really working on that. It's a tough problem because it's obviously developing and the technology is developing and hackers are, you know, expanding their skills all the time. But certainly the government's very aware of that as a problem. I can't say exactly, you know, that they'll be able to stop any sort of attack, but we haven't had a major cyber attack.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's a good reason for that. I think to some extent it's overblown, the ability of an outsider to really break into the government's computer system and change things.
Well, there are people who worry about private business being broken into as well.
Sure, sure. I mean, and those are all worries, but we've also developed all sorts of encryption technology and safety measures and, you know, passwords and codes and things like that. And I mean, I'm not a tech expert, but I get this. Certainly it's something that everybody's very aware of and is working on. I don't lose sleep over that at night.
All right. So now, listening to you over the past 10 minutes, I'm thinking, maybe in the last few minutes, especially what you said about these things are going to happen. And I agree with you, and so do most other people who have any common sense. We are open to these sorts of things just because of the nature of our country. How do we keep from getting overcooked with the news media covering things? It's always breaking news, and yet the news is being broken. Is the only thing broken is the news media.
Yeah. I mean, I think you're absolutely right. It's a problem because the more sensational the media can make something, the more eyes they get, and then the more they're able to sell that way. And that's sort of what makes news. And everyone has to step back and realize that's just news coverage. That's not reality. There, you know, we all have a certain level of resilience. There are risks everywhere in the world. There are risks when you get in your car. There are risks when you
right.
walk outside your house.
Yep.
So terrorism is a much smaller risk than most for the ordinary average person. And you got to keep that in perspective and remember that the media is in the business to some extent of hyping this stuff up. And that's not necessarily reality.
No, nor is it necessarily good. You got to have some common sense. All right. Good conversation, Daphne. Thank you for sharing your time with us. Daphne Avitar, who is a senior associate at the Human Rights First Organization, a lawyer and a journalist with some thoughts that are appropriate for the war. And 10 years hence, where will we be? One of the questions to be thinking about this week as we look at the positive changes and some of the other things that have taken place since September 11th, 2001. I'm Doug Steffen.
Wearing glasses with Crizal lenses can make a big difference in your vision, because neither rain, nor snow, nor dust and dirt, nor smudges, or even the toughest scratches, nor the glare of oncoming traffic can keep your lenses from giving you the clearest vision possible. Crizal lenses. Live life in the clear. That's Crizal. Crizal. Ask for them at your eye care professional.
My wife's monthly trip to the beauty salon was really adding up. I mean, between dyeing her roots and trimming the dead ends, we were going dead broke. So to save some money, I'm cutting it for her while she sleeps. No, don't wake up yet. Go to sleep, go to sleep. You're almost gorgeous. Oh, she is going to love this.
There's an easier way to save. Get online. Go to Geico.com. Get a quote. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Plenty of attitude, but not heartless. This is the Doug Steffen Show.
Hello, friends. Alex Jones here. You all know I've worked for years with Steve Shank and eFoods Direct. I have eFoods for my own emergency food supply. You know, Steve, life is different now for all of us, isn't it?
Very different. People are using this great food to survive the present hurricane season, and we've already had $40 billion worth of damage from floods, storms, quakes, and droughts. And that's just the first 8 months of this year. Natural disasters are newsworthy, but only touch a few of us Americans. The huge issue of the greatest depression recession is on everyone's mind. The unemployment, the loss of homes, lost businesses, and skyrocketing food costs are hitting every American. So everyone needs food security.
Folks, this month you will get free shipping on every food order from eFoods Direct. That's right. Every order gets free shipping starting September 6th. Get stocked up with the best storable foods out there with eFoods Direct and be prepared for any emergency before it happens. To take advantage of this special, call 800-409-5633 or go to eFoodsDirect.com/Alex.
Fight back this cold and flu season with the world's best garlic extract, Alli-C. Why Alli-C? Because it helps your body fight viruses, bacteria, and fungi. Alli-C has been scientifically proven in double-blind studies using low doses to greatly reduce the number, severity, and duration of common colds. Alli-C contains 300 milligrams of stabilized allicin, the active ingredient in crushed garlic. Studies show Alli-C is effective against MRSA, bacterial, fungal, and viral infections. One tablet of Alli-C has the equivalent of 40 cloves of garlic. Alli-C supports your body's resistance to all types of conditions and can help lower high blood pressure and high cholesterol. So boost your body's resistance to infection with nature's best garlic extract, Alli-C. For more information and to order Alli-C, call 877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com. That's 1-877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com for your Alli-C today.
The hour on the Good Day Show. I'm Rich McFadden, along with Roberta Fasanelli, who is back with us, and Jennifer Horn. And now it's time to have a little fun. So we're going to go in the Wayback Machine, Jennifer.
I love getting in the Wayback Machine.
Yeah.
Can I sit in the back?
Yeah.
Way.
Roberta's going to drive. I'm in the middle. And you're in the back. So 1985 is where we're going to go back to. And start with this song. We're going to play five songs. The top five songs from this week in 1985, and you're going to give us a call, and you're going to tell us the artist and the song name.
26 years ago, by the way.
Yeah, I know. I don't want to be reminded of that. Thank you very little. This song, my fingers would bleed. I used to play this song so much on my guitar. It's just a fun, fun song to listen to, drive to, whatever it is, fun song. So here it is, number five this week in 1985. Give us a call, 1-800-510-8255, 1-800-510-8255, now. And then, of course, you need the other four songs, and here's number four this week, 1985. First two so far should be pretty easy for everybody. Number three is no different.
We don't need another hero. We don't need another
1-800-510-8255. I want to get this done quickly, so get those fingers dialing if you know 5, 4, and 3,
so
because number 2 and number 1 aren't much harder.
Only time I've known all of them.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. We'll have to hear number one.
And number one is a one-hit wonder.
That's okay.
But you will know it.
I'm certified. That's
the power of love. 1-800-510-8255 to get in on this. Here's the number one song from this week in 1985.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah. That's the gimme right there. 1-800-510-8255. Pick up that phone if you know all five of those artist and song. Give us a call. You want a little something nice from the Doug Steffen prize closet. And we'll go through them again right here is number five. Yeah. Jennifer, do you have all five?
I do.
Roberta?
I think so.
Okay.
My personal fave.
Yeah.
Great dance
number
song.
Three.
I do not know that voice.
Is this from the Mad Max movie?
Yeah,
Mad Max.
Mad Max. Yeah.
Number two.
This was in a movie too, wasn't it?
This would be Back to the Future.
Yes, that's what I thought.
Oh,
and number one was in a movie too, wasn't
number
it?
Number one was in a movie.
There you go.
So I've got to think that number four was also in the movie as well. All right, so there it is. 1-800-510-8255. If you know all five artists and songs, pick up the phone, give us a call, and you could win something nice from the Doug Steffen Prize Closet here on Good Day, where it's 28 past the hour.
I'm Shelley Palmer with news you can use in technology, media, and entertainment. First up, an appeals court ruled that the U.S. government must come clean on its cell phone tracking policies. Currently, if you're a suspect, law enforcement has the ability to track you through any location-based technology you use. Doing so without your knowledge could be a violation of privacy rights. In other news, many businesses rely on being found through Google Maps search results. Unfortunately, malicious users are abusing the error reporting system and marking many businesses permanently closed. The misreporting has become so rampant that business owners are lashing out at Google to stop the damage. And finally, Amazon will soon let shoppers pick up deliveries through special P.O. boxes at 7-Eleven stores. If you're never home for deliveries, you'll eventually be able to scan a barcode and pick up your package without any worry of it being stolen off your doorstep. Visit ShellyPalmer.com to read all about it.
For Doug Steffen's Good Day, I'm Shelley Palmer.
Final round time. If two's company and three's a crowd, what's 207?
A bar mitzvah?
Correct. Opportunity never knocks twice. Why not?
It's got sore knuckles?
Correct.
Yes.
How fast does Netflix let you watch TV episodes and movies?
Instantly, through your game console or other devices.
Correct! Watch unlimited TV episodes and movies for only $8 a month from Netflix. See terms of use.
Yeah.
Sir, put your shirt back on.
But I'm excited.
You're scaring the children.
Now at the Home Depot, get 10% off your first purchase or special financing for 24 months on your first purchase of $599 or more when you open a new Home Depot consumer credit card account. It's a great way to turn those fall plans into finished projects. Special financing or 10% off. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. Valid through September 7th, U.S. only, subject to credit approval. Terms and exclusions apply. Cannot be combined with any other credit offer or discount. See store for details.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
For centuries, silver has been used as a powerful natural antibiotic, and as a listener to this station, you probably already know the benefits of using colloidal silver. With so many websites to choose from, finding a reputable, patriotic company with great products at affordable prices can be a difficult task. Introducing UtopiaSilver.com. UtopiaSilver.com carries the best, most effective, and most affordable colloidal silver and colloidal gold products in the industry. UtopiaSilver.com also carries products to fit your lifestyle, including weight loss, immune system defense, cleanses, herbs, joint and bone care, and much more. First-time customers using promo code GCN50 will receive 50% off all colloidal products. Visit us today at Utopia Silver. That's U-T-O-P-I-A Silver, UtopiaSilver.com, or call 888-213-4338. That's 888-213-4338. UtopiaSilver.com, taking back America's healthcare one American at a time.
Jason Lewis here. You know, we talk daily about all the crazy stuff going on, concerns with the economy, job loss, natural disasters. Let me ask you, what are you doing to be prepared? How will you provide for you and your family in an emergency? Well, for my preparation, I recommend WiseFoodStorage.com. WiseFoodStorage.com offers delicious, ready-made, freeze-dried meals that carry a 25-year shelf life, and you prepare them in minutes by simply adding water. Wise Company entrees are packaged in individual individual metal Mylar pouches, then stored in convenient grab-and-go plastic containers for freshness and easy transport. Go to wisefoodstorage.com today to request a free entree sample. Also, for a limited time, go to wisefoodstorage.com and enter promo code Lewis to get no-cost shipping on any order. That's wisefoodstorage.com, promo code Lewis, and don't forget to request a free sample. Wisefoodstorage.com, gourmet emergency food at the best price.
Howdy, folks. Pharmacist Ben here, nutritional pharmacist and skincare chemist. If you've heard me on my daily health and wellness program, The Bright Side, you know I'm on a mission to spread the good news about the power of nutritional supplementation to correct your healthcare challenges and get you feeling vital and healthy once again. I want you to call 877-279-9422 and check out the powerful, affordable line of nutritional products from Youngevity, the ones I take and the ones I recommend. That's 877-279-9422 or go to www.gcnminerals.com. Why simply mask your symptoms with toxic pharmaceutical drugs when you can address causes with vitamins and minerals? I suggest the Healthy Start Pack. It gives your body the essential 90 nutrients it needs. Most people notice a difference right away. You can sign up to help me spread the good news of health and wellness without drugs and maybe make a little money too. And while you're there, don't forget to check out my important video message. That's GCNminerals.com or call 877-279-9422. And remember, friends, good nutrition is good medicine.
It is a gift from you. The world is turning in its place because you made it too. I lift my voice, sing a song of praise on this good day.
This good day is at 33 past the hour, so if you're getting up and getting ready, once again, remember, school buses, people back from vacation, some weather. Give yourself an extra couple of minutes.
Busy week.
Get up and get out there. If you are home safely, give us a call, 1-800-510-8255 or pulled over. And
or your hands-free device. Don't forget that.
Or your hands-free device. I only want to cause a minor distraction. So we've got our top five songs from this week in 1985. Good week for music. And we've got a couple of people on the line here. We'll see if anybody's right and can knock all five of them out. And here we'll start with Vicki, who is in Williamsport, Pennsylvania. How was the World Series last week, Vicki?
Oh, it was good.
Are you guys?
Huntington Beach.
There's a local team. Yeah, well, there's a local team here. It was really big here with a team 28 miles away.
Yeah, how far did they get?
They got to the quarters.
The quarters? That's neat. That's the first time a local team has done so well, correct?
No, I guess back in, like, 1968 or something.
Oh, wow. So it's been a while.
A long time ago.
All right. So the California team beat, which is in Jennifer's backyard, the Japanese team to go ahead and take the World Series. That's cool. Mm-hmm. Everything goes back to normal back in Williamsport for another 11 months, and then, boom, you get it all over again, right?
It gets crowded.
Yeah. All right. So we've got our top five songs from this week in 1985. Do you think you have them all?
Yeah, I think so.
You think so? Uh-oh.
Yeah.
A little hesitation there. All right, let's go through them and see what you have. Here's number five.
All right, there's Brian Adams.
Yeah.
Tina Turner, Aretha Franklin, Huey Lewis, and Richard Marx.
All together in one song? Okay. We have to do it one at a time,
all right,
we?
So hold on. She's got the Brian Adams there. I'm going to give you one. You've got one of them wrong. I'm going to tell you that. I'm going to give you one chance. Here's number four. Tell me what this is.
Well, that's Aretha Franklin.
Okay. All right. You got that right. Here's number three. What is that?
Tina Turner.
Okay, that's right. And then here's number two.
Huey Lewis.
Okay, you're pretty sure about all those?
Yeah, I don't remember the last one.
All right.
I'm not going to know the last one.
Yeah, no, I'm sorry. It's not Richard Marx. That's a great guess, though, but you got four out of five, but that's not good enough to take the cake. So appreciate you calling. Thanks so much, Vicki.
All right, thank you.
All right, let's go on out to El Paso and see if Brett can finish that one. Brett, we're going to ride through all of these again, and you're going to go through 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and here's number five.
You can do it, Brett.
All right, what's this one, Brett?
Aw.
Oh,
You want me to tell you again? I'm sorry.
I do. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. It's the summer of 69. That's Brian Adams.
That's right. All right. And then here is number four.
Freeway of Love, Aretha Franklin.
All right. So far, so good. Here's number three.
We Don't Need Another Hero, theme from Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome, Tina Turner.
There you go. You even got the movie. Here we go. Number two.
Power of Love, Huey Lewis on the News. That was from Back to the Future.
That's right. All right. And here's number one. This is where she couldn't get it. Let's see what you got here. Vicky couldn't get it.
That is the theme from St. Elmo's Fire, also known as Man in Motion by John Parr.
Wow. Even got the secondary title down. Good job.
Yeah.
All right, Brett. Good job.
Good work, Brett.
Knew the movies, knew the secondary titles. Good job, man. All right, so hang in there. We're going to give you where were you this week in 1985? What was going on in your life?
This week in 1985 would have been the beginning of my senior year of high school.
And where'd you go to?
Five of my favorite songs.
Really? And where'd you go to high school at? Where were you?
Coral Springs High School, Coral Springs, Florida.
Hmm. And then you got to El Paso after that. So tell me, how was your senior year? Was your senior year everything you wanted it to be?
It was great, yes. I spent most of my time in the band. I had, I think, three or four band classes, marching band, all that stuff. It was a blast.
Cool. Great memories. Well, obviously you remembered your music, so thank you so much. Hold on one there, and we'll get your name and number and get you a little prize out, okay? All right. So now... Roberta Fasanelli.
Hello.
We thought she had left us. She's back. We thought she was gone forever.
That I was swallowed by the Grand Canyon, never to emerge.
So That's right.
So you went on this lifelong trip that you had always wanted to take, rafting down the Colorado River through the Grand Canyon, right?
Well, not quite rafting. It was 16 days from Lee's Ferry. Which is the northern part of the entrance of the Colorado River for these kind of trips, down to Lake Mead, to Pierce Ferry.
It was in dories,
which are really kind of big rowboats. So it wasn't by raft, and there was no motor. We rowed.
Were you sitting the whole time?
Most of the time you sat, but on the flats you could stand up. Yeah. You know, where the flat water, where the boats are very steady.
How long were these boats?
I believe they're about 15 feet. They were good size. Four people and an oarsman, but everybody took turns rowing at times. The oarsman was really more for, or oarswoman, was
steering.
Really more for the rapids. No, for the rapids.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Because some of the rapids are nasty. From the scale of 1 to 10, we did some 7, 8 rapids.
I've done class 5 rapids before, and I was... throwing some Hail Marys out there.
Yeah.
I can't imagine what a 7 or 8 looks like.
Oh, yeah. The 7 or 8s are incredible. And there are these things called holes in the rapid that are created by big rocks.
Like a vortex.
And, man, you don't want to get sucked into one of those things.
I rode over one of those, and it will scare the bejesus out of you, man. I'm telling you.
So it was just incredible to be inside the canyon and to take a trip of that length and be on a rowboat. It really allows you to see the canyon and really appreciate it because you're going so slowly. It's like the difference between walking or sitting in a car.
Right.
A lot of those motorized rafting trips, I mean, they're on these big rafts. You've got sometimes 20, 25 people on a raft. You've got this engine that's roaring through the Grand Canyon. And they go, okay, on your left is this, on your right is this. We actually stopped on the left and hiked to it. We did some 1,000-foot hikes. We did some rappelling with ropes down the canyons. We climbed up waterfalls. It was extraordinary. We walked through dry washes. We did rock climbing.
Wow.
Some incredible stuff. We went up some narrow canyons where the way we were getting up is we had our back to one wall and our feet on the other wall and kind of just inched up that way.
Yeah, cool.
Kind of like a crab, you know.
I mean, I know you very well.
Yes.
Okay, and I know that we've all kind of gotten in better shape over the last year.
Mm-hmm.
But this doesn't sound like something even I would be going, oh, my God, I'm dying.
Yeah.
I took a lot of...
physically? Yeah. I took a lot of ibuprofen, and we didn't even pitch tents. We basically slept outdoors all the time. We had
but this sounds like Superwoman type stuff.
I know. It doesn't sound like vacation, as I guess.
Oh, it was extraordinary. Yeah. You know, the guides are very savvy. I mean, these people love the canyon, and they've been doing it. The primary guide had been in the canyon for 40 years, and they judge the group. And luckily, this was one of the youngest groups they've had for a while. A lot of times they have people.
Guess you knocked that average up a couple of years.
60s or 70s. Yeah, I was just about the oldest person there. You know, the youngest I think was 24. Young Master David, as we called him. And you know, they would scamper up. I would take a little longer, you know, to get up to 1,000 feet. But
but you did it.
But I did it. Wow. You know, going up wasn't that bad. Coming down sometimes.
See, and that's you and I were chatting yesterday, and I mean, going down is usually the easier thing for me. But you're saying it was a little slippery, and the footing was a little tougher going down.
Yeah, you know, the actual angle is quite steep at times, and there's a lot of small rocks. Before you put your foot down, you have to really just kind of put your foot down, put some weight on it, and see if the rock is wobbly or not. And there's like a lot of little grainy type sand things and pebbles.
Right.
And so going down can really be hazardous because you can really slip on those rocks. These guides do it in flip-flops. I don't know how they do it.
Wow. Mm,
they've done it
they
a thousand
know.
Times. Yeah.
You know, we did some ledges that were only, there was one point it went down to about 18 inches with overhangs, so you had to kind of lean back a little bit. Right. And you fell down about 80 to 100 feet.
Stuff. All right.
Yeah, about
we've got about a minute or two left here. I want you to talk about and address this because you've been in kind of a funk for a year or two. You had your parents pass away, just all kinds of
stuff
going on in your life, you know, all kinds of things. You're, you know, in your early 50s, you needed something big, and apparently this was it.
This was your midlife crisis.
Take a minute and tell us what your midlife crisis did for you and how different you feel than 16 days before.
I don't know if I call it a midlife crisis. This is a trip that I've wanted to do since I was 14 years old, and it was definitely transformational. And in talking with the guides, this happens to a lot of people, where you're kind of like at a crossroads of your life, and you're not quite sure what is real to you and what is not real, and what you may want to do with the rest of your life. And you take a trip like this, and things become crystal clear. It's just an amazing transformation.
And what is that clarity told you?
That clarity told me that since I was small, the one thing I wanted to do was work outdoors. And although, you know, I love being in radio, you're in studios and you're in offices and you're enclosed, and I live in a big city. And at some point in my life now, I want to work outdoors. And one thing, you're going to laugh at this, I've always wanted to be a park ranger.
Hey, Yogi!
Hey, Yogi, only you can prevent forest fires! So, I mean, we'll see what happens.
She's a kind of funny-looking park ranger, Yogi.
So, you know, it kind of clarifies what's important to you and what's not, because you're stripped down. You know, you're down to two sets of clothing, you're bathing in the river, you're doing your business in the river, you're basic survival, there's no communication, no television, no cell phone, absolutely nothing. I had no idea about the earthquake or the hurricanes or anything.
Wow.
You know, I came back and it was like, really?
Yeah, but you need to disconnect.
What happened?
Like that.
That's total disconnect.
Yeah, yeah.
And you're sleeping on the ground and the stars. Oh, my gosh. I would wake up at 2 o'clock and 4 o'clock in the morning just to look at Jupiter.
Yeah.
It was so incredible.
That's got to be amazing.
As it went across the Milky Way, and the Milky Way was like a white splotch across the sky. It was just remarkable.
Yeah.
Wow.
For this city girl, at any rate.
Yeah. All right. All right, well, that's neat.
Awesome.
It sounds like a lot of fun.
Got bitten by red ants. That was nice.
Fire. Time for you to get back to work. We have
back
had people waiting for weeks for free stuff.
I want my music.
Yeah. Oh.
So he's your theme song, right?
I haven't heard it, you know?
There we go.
Okay.
The diva of dumpster diving. It's Roberta Fessinelli.
Let's start with free candy. I love free candy. Well, M&M's has posted on their Facebook page that they're going to give away 50,000 free chocolate candies beginning on September 8th. One at a time?
I get one, you get one, she gets one until they get 50,000 out? Or can I get all 50,000?
No. Not unless you have 50,000 email addresses and aliases.
Oh,
maybe.
Okay.
So they say the first 50,000 fans will receive a free coupon in the mail, but you have to go to Facebook and like them, and everything is on September 8th, so that's Thursday. Snapfish has prints for a penny. 4x6 prints, up to 500 of them. You just pay shipping, which is a couple of bucks. That expires on September 10th. This is an interesting book. It's an e-book that's free on Amazon.com. It's called Powerful Prayers for Troubled Times by Stormy R. Martian. And apparently this book was written right after 9/11. And it includes prayers for firefighters and policemen and people in the service.
Interesting.
And I just thought I'd include it in here because although I'm not terribly religious, I deeply believe in the power of prayer, and apparently there are some incredible prayers in here that, especially now coming up to the 10th anniversary, a lot of people, you know, might be able to use and appreciate and help them get through this anniversary. Also, I couldn't believe this, a free personalized Santa card. Yes. Christmas stuff already, and
what?
As I said, oy vey, it's Christmas stuff, but it's only good through September 12th, which is why I put it up. It's a free personalized Santa card sent to your home from Tiny Prince. You got two choices, Santa scroll or check in a twice cards, and we have all the information on how you can get that free only up to September 11th. I was having a fit that there was Halloween stuff in the stores already.
Yeah, oh, no, that's fine. We only have a few days to Halloween. We have to start planning.
Oh, goodness. And Christmas. I know before the Halloween stuff even goes down, Christmas stuff goes up.
Yep.
And if you're hungry, a free item from Panda Express. We have a coupon. You get a free item on any 2 to 3 item entree. So it's a good thing for hungry people. And this is all on the DougStefan.com website under the Queen of Cheap page.
There it is.
So
nice and fresh content for you guys. Some free stuff.
Yeah.
So go check it out at gooddayshow.com or DougStefan.com. And Jennifer's back with TV news in just 90 seconds. Hang in there.
Everyone knows that Cosmo's considered the Bible, a magazine that provides women with all the info they need to have more satisfying relationships and hotter sex lives. But you may not realize that millions of men regularly sneak a peek at it. Well, now there's good news for male Cosmo fans. The brand has just launched CFG, Cosmo for Guys, an interactive monthly app for iPad packed with tips on understanding and pleasing a woman, both in and out of bed. Kate White, editor-in-chief of Cosmo.
The idea for CFG really came from men themselves. They often tell us that they love reading Cosmo because they want to find out what makes females tick. With CFG, we tell them everything they're dying to know. Guys will love all the secrets we reveal, from the touch thousands of women crave in bed to the 5 words you should never say on a date.
Find the CFG, Cosmo for Guys iPad app on the App Store or at itunes.com/appstore.
Wearing glasses with Crizal lenses can make a big difference in your vision. Neither the teeming rains of India, nor the snows of Kilimanjaro, nor the glare of the paparazzi at a Hollywood opening can keep your lenses from giving you the clearest vision possible. For no-glare lenses with great water, dirt, dust, scratch, and smudge resistance, choose Crizal. Live life in the clear. That's C-R-I-Z-A-L. Crizal. Ask for them at your eye care professional.
There was 57 channels and nothing on.
Coming on 50 minutes past the hour, Jennifer Horn's got TV news for you. What's
big
going on?
Big stuff.
Yeah,
with
what?
Everything coming back into session, you know. All right, tonight, if you're a Rescue Me fan, it is the series finale tonight at 10 on FX. Don't forget to check it out. Someone's going to die. That's what I heard.
Really?
Not Dennis Leary, but you never know. Eddie Murphy, it is official. We were talking about it earlier this week. He has been chosen to be the host of the 84th Annual Academy Awards.
That's awesome.
I know. That'll
finally, Eddie Murphy is back.
He'll be fun. February 26th. Regis Philbin has announced his last day on Regis and Kelly, and that will be November 18th. Still no word on who the co-host with Kelly will be. And then The Bachelor, we have someone, the new Bachelor has been named, Ben Flagnick, who was, he proposed to Ashley in this last season.
Okay.
He's a winemaker. He's going to be the new Bachelor. I should go on. And America's Most Wanted, it's coming back. We thought it was over, but it's going to be on Lifetime for its 25th season later this year.
Wow. That guy's
cool,
amazing.
Huh?
John Walsh is an amazing guy, man. So, it's 51 past the hour. Good day. Thank you, Jennifer.
Sure.
Welcome back, Roberta.
Thank you.
Did
Did you know nuclear radiation is still spewing out of the melted down reactors in Fukushima, Japan, and making its way across the entire U.S. continent, contaminating the air, water, and food? Dangerously high levels of radiation are a reality here. As a result, radiation poisoning is a distinct possibility for anyone living in the U.S. unless you do something to protect yourself. How? With liquid zeolite from RestoreYourHealthNow.com. Without a doubt, liquid zeolite is by far the best product to remove radiation from your body. It safely removes toxins and heavy metals, boosts energy levels, and promotes a strong immune system. Liquid zeolite is so powerful it was used to clean up contamination in Chernobyl, yet so gentle you won't even know you're taking it. Liquid zeolite comes with a money-back guarantee, but is only available at RestoreYourHealthNow.com. Learn how to get free bottles of liquid zeolite by calling 800-880-9976. That's 800-880-9976. Or go to RestoreYourHealthNow.com. That's RestoreYourHealthNow.com.
From the shattered Rust Belt come the Lost Vegas.
A brother won't admit, no one will be here. I just came to watch my LED.
Life Before the Collapse, vinyl LP by the Lost Vegas. Life Before the Collapse by the Lost Vegas on 180 gram vinyl and mastered especially for vinyl by legendary audio engineer Steve Hall. Life Before the Collapse by the Lost Vegas.
The Lost Vegas.
Now available at Amazon.com.
Now, 53 past the hour on the Good Day program, Warren Eckstein, who is someone we love to love, and we are, I guess we are animals, though, aren't we? We're all animals, mammals, and we are, as the human race, considered animals, are we not, Warren?
Absolutely, all of us.
All right, and some of us act more like animals than animals. However, that is not the focus. I have to keep chuckling about my voice here, which I have apologized for. The essence of our look ahead, thinking about some of the dogs that were very important back 10 years ago. There are some great stories that you have of pets. And I'm wondering, as we think about some of the pets that helped in all of the various rescue operations, what have we learned about what some of these dogs can do? And how has that helped to change either the kinds of dogs that are used for rescue stuff or the training or both, Warren?
You know, it's a great question, Doug. You know, years ago, I had done this type of training, search and rescue training, when I was stationed in Europe. So right after the attacks of 9/11, I was actually called in by the Petco Foundation, which is a charitable foundation of the Petco Corporation. And because of my background, they had no one else available. They asked me to go to 9/11 and work with the New York City Police Canine Unit to see what, in fact, their needs were and being able to donate money on their behalf, which is exactly what we did. But one of the things that we found at 9/11, which was different, most of the search and rescue dogs in the United States at that point were specifically trained to look for people and find people that might have been injured or alive. What they found at Ground Zero was that these dogs were getting very, very frustrated because they weren't finding any survivors. So as part of the immediate training that had to be done while the dogs were actually searching at Ground Zero was letting some of the police officers and volunteers actually hide under the rubble so the dogs would have the opportunity of finding someone that was alive and therefore knowing that they did their job. And a lot of these dogs at that point were not trained as cadaver dogs or dogs sniffing out bodies. So there's been a tremendous increase, it's hard to say, but there's been a tremendous increase in that advanced type of training, teaching dogs to sniff out cadavers. But the dogs did an amazing job. Let me just give you one story. When I arrived on the scene, the first dog I met was a German Shepherd working with one of the police officers. And I saw that his feet were bandaged up. So my first question was obviously, hey, why are his feet bandaged up? And so we were the first dogs on the scene here. And when we got here, there was a lot of rubble, obviously, and the dog cut his feet. We took him to the triage center. We had the feet all taken care of. I took the dog home that night, went to leave for work the next morning to come back to 9/11, and the dog refused to let me leave the house without going there. So he had to take the dog with him. Somehow, Doug, the dog knew what was going on. This was something he had to do and had to go back there and just work. And these dogs were tireless. It's kind of interesting because on my website in a couple of weeks, I have some producers right now that are going to be interviewing a lot of the dogs that searched there. But even more important, I'm going to be interviewing the head veterinarian at the University of Pennsylvania. Well, you know, it's going to be on my website, but we'll shoot it over to you, so I'm sure you guys will put it up too. And the bottom line is that we're going to find out exactly the effect that this had on the dogs years and years later. So now they're in development of trying to figure out, can we put some type of mask on the dog where they can still be able to use their nose, but somehow not ingest or inhale some of the toxins that they did? Because many of the dogs did die from cancer. No one's proven that it's specifically caused by that. But let me tell you, having been there, when I left, and there was no plane, so I had to drive back to Los Angeles, I was coughing and hacking and spitting for 3 or 4 days. So those are some of the things that are being done right now. But the dogs, Doug, an amazing job. They're a spectacular job. And more people are getting involved in search and rescue, which is a really good thing.
How do we keep from exploiting the dogs or having the dogs exploited when it comes to their training?
Well, what you need to do is you need to get involved. There are certain trainers out there. I'll train your dog for search and rescue. There are groups out there. If someone's really, really serious about getting involved with working with their dog and training their dog for search and rescue, they need to get in touch with a volunteer group. The search and rescue company, SARS, is one of them, and really get involved and educate themselves to find out what's involved, because it is a major commitment and does take an awful lot of training. These dogs are not just, you know, heel, sit, stay, down, and come. They know exactly what they're doing. And one thing I learned many years ago when I was overseas and I was watching the people work at 9/11 too, is when in doubt, don't trust your instincts, trust the dog's instincts.
Wow. There's something to remember. If you don't take anything else away this conversation.
I don't want to go into specifics because I can't, but specifically in my lifetime, I can guarantee at least 2 specific times where had I used my judgment, I wouldn't be talking to you today had I not trusted the dog's instinct.
Yeah. What a wonderful lesson to learn from that reality. Warren Eckstein from The Pet Show. Check it out. You can see his picture in the contributors box at DougStephan.com. Bring you to all the things that he was talking about. He's going to bring to you regarding these dogs. Thank you, Warren.